Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Fun, food, and fellowship. We've been in the book of Genesis for a while now. And last week we went to a wedding in chapter 24. And the girls got kind of excited about that. We also want to remember that we're talking about the Word of God that's true. We can trust the Bible. In the first 11 chapters was actually the first half of Genesis, a little more than 2,000 years, but we saw the creation of all things, the corruption of all things, and the condemnation of all things, and then the confusion of all things. And now we've been in the second half of Genesis, which covers about 350 years, got the four patriarchs in it, and the first one's Abraham. Good Lord willing, we'll finish up Abraham today. But Abraham... Well, let me say it this way. We're going to start Isaac, although these chapter divisions here aren't exact. They overlap like this. And we saw Isaac in the last chapter. We saw him back in chapter 22. But the truth is, Abraham gets about 12, 13 chapters in the Bible, if you look at your outline. And this is not exact. Sometimes I change that back and forth. Isaac just gets about 2 or 3 chapters. And then Jacob, again, he gets about eight chapters in the Bible. And then Joseph, our hero, he gets 12 chapters, if you count them up there. But because of the amount of Bible, I'm going to say this, because Isaac did some great things. I'm not kicking Isaac. But the truth is, or it could be, Isaac is a mediocre son of a great father. And a mediocre father of a great son. Just based on the number of chapters that each one gets. Isaac, again, Isaac did something great back in Abraham's Calvary, back in chapter 22. And he does some great things. Kind of winds down there toward the end. I hope I finish right. I pray I finish right. I'm not sure Isaac did. He let down there in the end. But anyway, let's start here in chapter 25. And we see... we'll finish up the closing years of Abraham's life. And Abraham's family, in the first four verses, then again Abraham took a wife. See, Sarah had died, and they buried her a while back, if you remember. And the wife's name is Keturah. This is Abraham's last spouse. Well, how many did he have, Brother Rick? Well, he's already had two. This will be number three. Well, who were they? Well, it was Sarah and Hagar. Were the first two wives. Here's Keturah is his last wife, and she represents the restoration of Israel after the tribulation, after the church age, if you will. Now, I'm not going to try to pronounce those names in verse 2, 3, and 4. I can't do it. But I do want us to notice that number 6 is Midian, and Midian troubles Israel throughout the Bible, but Midian is also where Moses gets his wife. There's exceptions all the way through, like Rahab. I'm an exception. Grace stopped at Nalam one day and picked me up and put me on a camel named Grace, and I got in. I shouldn't have got in. I shouldn't be here this morning. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to have a Bible and be able to read it. But I got in, right. And Moses got his wife there from Midian. Well, let's look at 5 and 6 here, Abraham's fortune. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Let's look at that, how it would pertain to us, maybe, Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, any children in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. then not only that, you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. See, everything Jesus gets, we get. Just like Isaac got everything, Jesus is going to get everything. But then we're heirs with Him. We're joint heirs with Him. And then Abraham's farewell, starting in verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 115 years. A score is 20, 3 scores would be 60, and then 15 would be 75. Abraham was 175 years old, and then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in a cave, in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. We studied about that a while back. And there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahori. So we're getting ready to start in on Isaac now. The celebration of Abraham. He celebrated back in 21 when Isaac was born. And now here's another celebration starting in verse 12. Now these are the generations of Ishmael. Abraham's son was Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, barren to Abraham. And these are the names of the son of Ishmael by their names. According to their generations, the firstborn of Ishmael is Kabajus. I don't do any good better on these either. And Kedar and Abel and Midsalem. And let's just go down to verse 16. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So now we start Isaac and Rebekah. Abraham's over with. We're going to look at Isaac and Rebekah. It starts in 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac in verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. We saw that last week in chapter 24 and 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated. The Lord listened. When Isaac prayed, God listened, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The problem was, but she was barren. That's in 21. It was not Isaac's fault. When the church is barren, it's not Christ's fault.
That's right.
It's Rick's fault.
That's right.
It's Rick's fault. She did the sensible thing. She prayed to God. She knew where. That's what prayer is. Prayer is an act of faith. It shows who we trust when we pray. She inquired of the Lord, and guess what? She got twins. We'll see here in a minute. So that's what we should do when we have a problem, is pray. That's what Abraham did. Let's look back in 15:2. Genesis 15:2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham prayed, and we know God answered that prayer. And Rachel did the same thing. Chapter 30, in Genesis chapter 30, Rachel couldn't have children. She was barren. In verse 1, and when Rachel saw that she gave Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Well, she does end up praying to the Lord because the husband can't answer that prayer either. But let's see now in 22 what happens. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. They did the right thing going to the Lord.
Right.
That's what Sarah did in 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. Verse 10 and 11. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And then in 19 and 20, and they rose up in the morning early. This is Hannah and her husband. And they rose up early in the morning, and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what Hannah did. It's what Zechariah did in Luke 1. It's the thing to do if you're having a problem to pray.
Yes.
Whether it's barrenness or something else. Prayer. Prayer. Luke 1, starting in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Verse 13, they went to the Lord with their problem. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So she did the right thing, praying. They prayed to the right person, to the big Lord, and God answered prayer. Now back in Genesis 25, verse 22, here's the struggle. Here's the struggle. And the children struggled together. The children, twins, struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. We'll see why here directly. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, like a sweater. And they are like a coon, a baby coon or a pup. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. His hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80, 3 times 20, 60 years old when she bare them. Now the struggle, this is a struggle between light and dark. We've been seeing it down through Seth's good line and Cain's bad line ever since chapter 3. We've been seeing this. It's a struggle between good and evil, between the flesh and the spirit. Let's look at it again in Galatians 5, how it pertains to us. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, we saw this back with Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was a picture of the flesh, and Isaac the picture of the spirit. Ishmael got here first. Isaac comes along 14 years later. Ishmael's in the habit of doing what Ishmael wanted to do, and that didn't work out. Now Isaac, the spirit's going to take over. Jacob latched on to Esau's heel, and he's going to use Esau. Rick was born 21 years before Brother Rick got here. And I need now to use the flesh, use my spirit. My spirit needs to make my flesh serve Him.
Right.
My spirit this morning made my flesh carry me over here. I should be latched on to His heel and dominating now. The Brother Rick came along later. Old Rick been here 21 years. He was used to doing what he wanted to do. But now the Spirit should take over, and the Spirit woke the flesh up, the old Rick up this morning and said, hey, it's time to read and pray and get with it. Let's go. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it's going to happen right here. The old nature is the elder. He got there first. The elder of the two, he gets there first. The new nature does not arrive on the scene until the new birth. And then it should take over and make the flesh serve. The elder shall serve the younger. The old nature has no future. This body has no future. It's headed for the grave. The spirit needs to take over and control my body, and so that I would not just be here in spirit, but in body. My spirit would bring my body. Esau was red, untamed. Hair is a picture of natural energy. Looks like I've lost most of it. I better go into spirit. I don't have any natural energy left. Esau looked like a baby animal. This is repulsive to Rebekah. Therefore, Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac loved Esau because of the deer meat and gravy stuff he'd bring in. Esau was a man of the field. Jacob was a man of the fold. The struggle in, at the beginning of 22, and the children struggled together within her womb. It might have been that Esau even tried to murder Jacob before they were born. Another assault upon the seed, the capital seed, so that Jesus wouldn't get here. Jacob triumphed holding on to Esau's heel, making the flesh serve the spirit, trying to supplant and be the firstborn. Sooner or later, I'll either act like Esau or Jacob. Sooner or later, either Esau or Jacob's going to come out in thee. One or the other. There's no discharge in this war until it'll always be spirit or flesh. It'll always be spirit or flesh, what Rick wants to do. It'll always be what God wants me to do or what Rick wants to do. Spirit or flesh, spirit or flesh. That's the battle from now to the grave. There's no discharge. That's the way it's going to be. Jacob brought Jesus into the world. Not exactly. I didn't say it exactly right. But Jacob is the Lord Jesus, or Mary's great-great-great-grandpa. Esau is Herod's great-great-grandpa. Talking about the good line and the bad line. I'm talking about the line, the seeds coming through. You're looking at me like maybe you never heard this. Guess what? Abel was Jacob's great-great-grandpa. And Cain was Esau's great-great-grandpa. Now that's spiritually. That's not in the flesh. That's not in the genealogy. But Abraham's the father of us all. Let me put it that way. If you've been born again, if the reason you're here today is you believed God, that's what Abraham did. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's why I'm here this morning. Abraham's the father of us all. Esau's passion was to kill. Jacob's was to protect. Now, we don't see this early on. I know you're looking at me funny. Listen, Jacob is just as bad as Esau.
Right. Yes.
It's hard to see until the end. It takes the Lord, even the Lord, a long time to bring this out. But Jacob's behavior is as bad as Esau. He's a trickster, if you will. But somewhere in there, Jacob had a desire to do right. It comes out later on. You might have to trust me on that for a while. But Esau did not think about God. That's why he's not here this morning. Esau's out playing around somewhere on a boat or something. Let's go to 27 now. Here's the results of this, of all this. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Another problem in the home. We need to work on loving them all the same.
Right.
But God answers in a double measure. There's two manner of people, two lines, two lineages. Now they have the same background. Later on we're going to see Joseph and his brothers grew up in the same tent. But Joseph did right almost perfectly. And the brothers were deadbeats. And it's the same way here. Esau and Jacob grew up in the same tent. One's spiritual and one's carnal. They got the same background. The point is we make choices. Again, every day we make many choices. Every day I have many choices to choose spirit or what Rick wants to do. Spirit or Rick. Spirit or Rick. Many times a day. Let's look at it in Hosea. The birth of the twins. In Hosea. It's going to be Hosea 12. Starting in verse 2. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel. Remember when he camped out? We'll get to that a little later. Power over the angel and prevailed. And saw Jacob's ladder. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, the house of God. And there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Here's the twins. The flesh was born first. The spirit was born second. Jacob is a deceiver. He latched on to the heel of the flesh of Esau. And the birthright of the twins. We see it in Let's see, we already read that. The oldest son gets a double portion in the birthright, or dominance. He's got the oldest son's going to get the position of the priest of the family. He's going to get the father's blessings to be the head of the house, like a double inheritance. He's going to be in a direct line of the promised Messiah. Just like Abel, Seth, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and then it's going to be one, Jacob or Esau. Now, notice at the end of verse 23, it says the elder shall serve the younger. But guess what? Both Jacob and Esau got impatient.
Yes.
They wouldn't wait. Let's look at it. 29 now. Genesis 25, 29. And Jacob sawed pottage. He made brown beans and cornbread. How about that? Soup. Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He was tired. He was hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Now look, he wasn't going to die. He was impatient, just like Brother Rick. He was impatient. He wanted it now. He wanted it now. He said, "What profit?" Let me go on here. And Jacob said, "Okay, I'll give you some. Sell me thy birthright." Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." The oldest. Sell me all that stuff that goes with the oldest. And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me?" He was looking for profit. He was looking for profit. He was impatient. He said, "I'm going to die anyway. Okay, I'll trade." He traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. He sold for one morsel of meat. And he valued God's promises as cheap. Cheap. Esau minded earthly things. Jacob minded heavenly, eternal things. The family priesthood, the family property, the family begetting, getting in that line of the Messiah, the birthright, is what Jacob was interested in. Esau could care less. He wasn't interested in the things of God. None of it. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now let me go ahead and say they were both wrong. They were both wrong. They were both impatient. Jacob might have had a good desire, but he went at it the wrong way. He's just as wrong as I am. Esau was handsome on the outside, but Jacob had a desire. And it took God a long time to reveal that desire to us. But God knew what was in there. I went to a funeral yesterday, and I think I realized again, when we get to heaven, we might be surprised at who is there and who's not there. The birthright was promised to Jacob when he was first born. We read it there at the end of 23. But impatient Esau, he wanted his now, and so did Jacob. As long as Jacob could help himself, he didn't look to God either.
Right.
As long as he could connive and get along and get by. You know, about like Brother Rick. About the same way. But there came a day when God sent Jacob off to the school of hard knocks. And guess what? Uncle Laban's the principal.
Yeah.
Uncle Laban's the headmaster when he gets there. Well, that's it for Abraham. We saw in chapter 15 he got saved. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. In 11, when God first come to him, remember, he was a heathen. He was a Gentile. He's the first Jew. And it's his caution. He's not sure what's going on there in 11. 12, he gets called out. And he does what he's told to do. Well, kind of. Then he gets a commission to go. To go. His Canaan in verse 12. Chapter 12. His carnality then. He went down there in Egypt and got Hagar. That was chapter 12. His condescension. He goes down in 13. 14 is his courage and conquest. Remember, he whips the five kings there. And then he goes and worships with Melchizedek, his covenant. And then his compromise, again. You know, once I've sinned once, it's easier for me to do it again. But this is Abraham, the father of Saul. His circumcision is in 17. His compassion, in 18, he goes and rescues nephew Lot, his corrupted kin. His conviction, his celebration in 21, he gets Isaac. His Calvary in 22, we've seen all this. His cave, he buries Sarah here. And then his command to make sure that Isaac gets a girl that's homeborn and will follow. Fellas, you better do the same. Girls, you better do the same. Make sure they're homeborn. His keturah in 25, and then his city. Let's look at that in Hebrews 11. He's looking for a city. Are you this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it won't be long. Let's see, Hebrews 11. Might be today. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Helped him a lot right there. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. A pilgrimage. A journey to a sacred place. As in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Heirs with him of the same promise. And he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down for us. In Jesus' name, amen.